time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Well, good afternoon. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. Welcome to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. I'm your host, Kate Skirmerhorn. In our special edition of today, joining me in the studio is a great group of guests dealing in some aspect of the home or homeowners or home industry of some sort. Joining me today is Phil LeBlanc from ProTech Home and Property Inspections.
Hello there.
Welcome. John Ragland Jr. from Supreme Lending.
Hello.
And Johnny Phelps from Harry Norman Realtors.
Hey, pleasant good afternoon.
Welcome, everybody. We're going to kick off the show today with Phil LeBlanc from ProTech Home and Property Inspections. Welcome, Phil.
Well, how are you, everybody?
Very good, very good. Phil, tell us a little bit about what ProTech Home Inspections is, does, and what you do for them.
Sure. Usually when there's a sale of property, whether commercial or residential, a buyer or sometimes a seller in preparing for sale will have a property assessment or inspection. And we usually turn up, you know, condition which is objective and neutral about the property so that decisions can be made to buy or things to repair to sell.
Okay. And so if somebody's they're going through that process and they're looking at the home, what kind of things do you inspect for?
Quite a bit, actually. As we say, when people call in, we look at about 700 plus items from the roof on down. It's very comprehensive. It's very objective. We have systems in place. And heating, the big food groups, as I call them, would be the heat, the air systems, the structure, plumbing, and electrical. And then, of course, there are some additional things that have been coming into play more often, health concern-wise, radon, mold, and things like that, termite. And so those are some of the things with a large overview, not to get into the minutiae of it.
Okay. And so if somebody is buying that home, and are they required to get an inspection, or is that just something that's a good idea?
Well, no, they're not. But interestingly enough, insurance companies are starting to require it. People are finding that upon closing, they have a binder for insurance, only to find out when the insurance company contacts them in a few weeks, they want that home inspection report. Mm-hmm. So it's progressed over the years since the early 70s when it began as an industry. But it is not required. And interestingly enough, there are about 10 states left in North America that we do not have law on the books in states to have a certified or licensed home inspector. And Georgia is one of those. So that is an important thing for consumers to try to figure out without licensing who is going to do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't want just Uncle Joe to come and say, yeah, it looks fine.
And the truth of it is every home inspector has to start somewhere. So it could be a rookie they could hire. It could be somebody with a lot of technical know-how, but they don't have hands-on application. And we have found that it takes a number of months, even with construction background and training, to get into harness and do your first for-hire home inspection for a client.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us then a little bit about your background and your experience and your company in general.
Sure, I'd be happy to. In this industry, a lot of people come from construction or a real estate background, and I'm really no different. My dad was my 92-year-old dad, who just celebrated a birthday last week, was a broker. In the 50s through the mid-80s, he and his partner had done thousands of transactions, developed subdivisions, taken over commercial property, old factories in New England, converted them to condos. And I had the honor of learning at my dad's side at a very early age, to the point where I couldn't stand it by the time I got out of college. And so at that point, I went in another direction with some finance things, but got back into it about 8 years ago when my own home was for sale here locally in Lawrenceville, and they hired a nice man to do a home inspection. He was a retired engineer. But I could tell he really didn't know what was going on. And that kind of gave me the impetus to look into it. I was at the end of a 10-year plan in a business I owned, and I did a survey and found out that I would really enjoy this. So I went to the best and the best possible education to get back up to speed and up to date. It all worked out great. And here I am now, founder of a small company with 8 employees, and we just love going out and educating clients every day.
Very good. We're listening to Phil LeBlanc from ProTech Home and Property Inspections. Phil, you mentioned something interesting. A lot of insurance companies are requiring that home inspection. Have they been finding that people would not get that inspection, then try to file an insurance claim? Was that part of the process after they bought the home and say, oh, well, now I need to get that done? Or are they trying to prevent things from happening, like they're noticing the water heater or things that might go wrong in the future, trying to be proactive? Why do you think the insurance companies are?
Pre-existing conditions, really. I think regarding, in particular, we've seen roofs come up. That has been one of the major reasons. A pretty well-worn roof, and of course, you know, we're prone where we are in the south to hail and wind damage coming through periodically. And so determining the condition of something before a weather event, we'll call it, is very helpful to the insurance company, whether or not they feel they are liable. I'm sure if I was the insurance company and there was a 20-year-old roof that disappeared in a windstorm, I wouldn't be as happy about honoring a claim as I would with an average or better than average roof that took a big hit from hail or wind damage. Mm-hmm. I think pre-existing condition is the big thing. Also comes into play a little bit with warranty companies, same thing. They will ask for a copy of a home inspection report to determine if there was a pre-existing condition, say, on a heating and air unit before they settle a claim.
Now, can the warranty companies or the insurance companies require a new homeowner to get those things fixed before they will warranty or insure them?
Usually they're not. Usually a warranty company isn't privy to the home inspection. But they do ask for it when a claim is made. It's a good question. I really don't know from their viewpoint the entire correct answer for that, but I think what they use it for is basically to help determine the loss and is it reasonable.
Sure. So when a homeowner gets, or potential homeowner, because I think you're really mostly working with the buyers, not the sellers, they get that report. Are you making recommendations for them, or are you just saying, here's exactly what I found? What kind of things do they find in your report?
Well, it runs the gamut. Anything that can be in the home can be in great condition, or it could need some maintenance, or there could be some serious safety issues. And we find a little bit of everything every day at every home. We do make recommendations to further evaluate and repair and place in safe, warrantable condition. Mm-hmm. That's with every finding, generally. In any market, I think both buyer and seller have to show some restraint in wanting everything to be perfect, because there is no such thing as perfection in life. And so we like to see them work things out reasonably, kind of look. Our objective is really to look for the big fish, as I call it. We throw out a net, and we're looking for $2,000 items of large concern that can make a difference in the transaction when we're educating the client. And what we come up with is some of those things, but we come up with a pretty large list of small things, from nearly insignificant, like an outlet that's not wired right, but could be a safety concern, to some moisture-damaged wood. And generally, I will tell you, it kind of runs on average somewhere between $4,000 to $8,000, depending on the age of a property, in findings that need to be repaired. Mm-hmm. It just varies.
Yeah. Now, are you finding, what are some of the typical things that you find these days that you're finding in reports that maybe the seller could have prevented by just doing some regular maintenance? What kind of things are you finding most common to be on your reports that need correction?
Well, they don't go on the roofs a lot. So on homes that exceed maybe 5 or 10 years, or possibly they're on vacation or just weren't aware that there was wind event happen, as we call it. They may have some missing shingles and not even know it until it's too late, and it kind of get water inside the home. Of course, no one's going to run around and test their outlets. They don't know the things that are miswired. Moisture damage wood trim is a very simple thing to take care of, but there are certain areas of the home edges of windows and doors that seem to catch it a little quicker, and they're just unaware of it. Sometimes it could be even on a home that's only 2 or 3 years old, the settlement of the grade around it, leading to a condition where water may come in the home, usually in a basement situation. There's just so many different things. You know, it's funny, maintenance is something that people think we maintain our home well, but we find that most homeowners do not have their heating and air units cleaned by a professional once a year. And the next thing you know, say the unit that's in their attic, all of a sudden the condensation moisture is just leaking up on the ceiling, and they're like, what's that from? I must have a roof leak. And it just didn't occur to them that the manufacturer actually states you should clean your system once a year. So really, these are some of the common things that we find.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're listening to Phil LeBlanc from ProTech Home and Property Inspections. Now, Phil, you also do commercial in addition to residential. How does that vary, and what kind of things are you inspecting for in commercial properties?
Well, again, there some of the major systems are quite the same, actually. But it's a little different approach in that we're looking to educate the buyer of the property with commercial on what needs to be replaced and when and what the dollar amount will be. A lot of the roof systems are different with warehouses. You have a lot of flat roof systems, and there's many different materials for it. I would say the biggest difference between the two is projecting the costs in the future for the potential buyer for a commercial property. It's more of a here and now for the residential person. Also, with new commercial assessments, the standard is not so much to operate things as much, but to evaluate and date it, say a heating and air unit, and give the expected useful life, observe the condition, and then recommend the timeline for a replacement based on industry standards.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Phil, tell us a little bit about your service area here in the Atlanta market.
Well, it keeps growing. Currently, we could tell you that it goes from the Georgia line up by Lake Hartwell down to the Noonan area. And from east to west, it would be roughly Athens over to Dallas, Georgia. So when I say greater metro Atlanta, I think it's kind of greater metro Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's grown quite a bit, and it continues.
Okay, very good. That's basically seems like most of all of North Georgia, it seems, that you're covering.
Bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for our listening audience that's wanting to hear a little bit more information, how could they go about finding some more information about ProTech?
Well, of course, we can give you our phone number here locally, 770-277-5655. Or you could go to our website, and I think just 2 weeks we have a phenomenal launch of a new website, and that would be at www.protech.com. There will be a lot of user-friendly information about maintaining your home. Huge resource area is what we're dedicating a lot of the website to for consumers as well as realtors.
Fantastic. Phil LeBlanc from ProTech Home and Property Inspections. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks. It's been fun.
Our next guest on the show is John Ragland Jr. from Supreme Lending. Welcome, John.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Let's start and talk us about Supreme Lending and what all Supreme Lending does for us.
Well, you know, everyone wants to achieve the dream of home ownership, but not everyone has the money to be able to buy it with cash. If you are that buyer, then Supreme Lending can help you to purchase that property because we can provide the financing that you would need to be able to purchase it. If you have some cash, then that would be used as a down payment, and we would couple that with our loan in order to help the home buyer purchase the property.
Okay, and do you do residential and commercial loans?
We only do residential. We do not do commercial loans.
Okay, so you're looking for a lot of realtors. And tell us a little bit about something. People, we're getting those loans. What kind of things do they need to prepare for in getting a loan? When you hear people talking about being pre-qualified, and what kind of steps would that typical home buyer need to go through to work on getting that loan?
Great question. You know, there are a lot of different terms in the industry, and the terms can be very confusing because different lenders and realtors and different business partners will have different definitions for these terms. So probably the most popular terms would be pre-qualification and pre-approval. Mm-hmm. And you have some lenders that have the same definition for the different words. And so it's a really good question to find out the lender you're working with, or if you're working with Supreme Lending, what do those mean? And so, in my opinion, pre-qualification is the process of working with a lender to find out how much you qualify for just based on preliminary information that could be discussed over the phone or in person. For example, how much does a buyer make, what their debts are approximately, and then running some calculations to determine you might qualify for somewhere around this monthly payment, and that would correspond to X sales price. In my opinion, a pre-qualification, if that's the definition, is not really worth much. It's great to know some numbers, but until you really know what you're qualified to buy, those are just numbers. So in my opinion, a pre-approval is really what a home buyer needs. That's going to include a review of the credit report, the income that they are receiving from their employment, the debts that are on the credit report, and then the current assets that they have, liquid assets and non-liquid assets like retirement accounts or investment accounts. At Supreme Lending, we are committed to doing as much upfront with that documentation as possible so that we can avoid surprises along the way. One thing that we will do upfront is review the actual documentation, not just talk with a buyer about it, but actually obtain the pay stubs, the W-2s, the tax returns, and the bank statements, so we can actually calculate the income and the funds that would be used for closing the same way that the underwriter does. That way we know exactly what we're dealing with, and then we can set the right expectation with the buyer so they know how much house they could be looking for. And when they do find the right house and they close on it, they'll know exactly what the monthly payment's going to be, so there's no surprises.
Mm-hmm. How important is it for that buyer to be pre-approved before they start going to look for a house?
Well, Kate, I'll tell you, a lot of sellers won't even let a buyer look at the property if they have not been pre-approved. And, most realtors want to provide the best service to their clients and are not going to want to show the client a home that is worth more than what they are qualified for. Nothing's worse than falling in love with a $500,000 home when you can only afford a $250,000 home. So in order to provide the best service, a realtor is going to encourage their buyer to get pre-approved, not just for the seller, but also for the buyer's own benefit of looking at homes that are in the price point that they're qualified for.
Mm-hmm. We're listening to John Ragland Jr. from Supreme Lending. John, tell us a little bit about, you hear a lot of people say, I got a brother in the mortgage industry, or everybody seems to know somebody in banking. And there's lots of banks that have signs out that say loans. Why would somebody want to go with Supreme Lending? I can't walk into your branch and open a checking account and get my mortgage in the same place. So why Supreme Lending?
It's a great question. And you're exactly right. There are a lot of people out there that know somebody that has been or is in the mortgage industry at some point. And not all lenders, not all loan officers are the same. Not all banks are the same. Not all operations departments are the same. So it's really important to understand every component of the lender that you're working with. What I love about Supreme is that we do all of the underwriting and the processing of the funding of our loan ourselves. So that enables us to have complete control. And there are other lenders in the business who will broker that out to a third party, or they will choose to take that offsite, maybe overseas, and they really lose the control. The underwriting and the processing of our loans are done in my main office. And so I can walk down the hall and talk to the underwriter, I can talk to my processor. We can sit down. Just last week, I had the underwriter call me about a file because there was a question about the borrower's employment, how long they had been there, and their specific role. There are other lenders that don't even allow the loan officer and the underwriter to speak to each other. I personally think that's crazy because we're really all on the same team trying to help a home buyer achieve home ownership. And so you really need to have not only the ability to communicate, but you need to have a really good working relationship. I think there is a huge value to be able to explain to my client that I know my underwriter, I know how she thinks, I know what she's looking for. And today, a perfect loan does not really have anything to do with the credit score. It really has to do with a perfectly documented file. And so more than ever, documentation is the key. And so knowing what my underwriter is looking for enables me to be able to tell the home buyer, this is what we're going to need. So I just want you to be prepared. And it also helps us to get the documentation up front. So if there are issues or concerns with that documentation, we can address it up front instead of some lenders who will wait and address it the day before closing. That's not a good situation.
Well, certainly home buying can be a very stressful situation for a lot of people. And back in 2008, we had a big shift in the market, obviously. And what can people be who have maybe had to lose their home or as a process shift out of a home, went to the rental market, but say, you know, I want to get back into think about buying a house where things have stabilized. What kind of things do they need to be thinking about to prepare themselves to get back into the home buying market?
You know, back when all of that was happening and we were going through the shift, there were a lot of home buyers that were afraid to let their property go into foreclosure or to do a short sale. When, if ever, will I be able to qualify again? And I am really excited now to say that there are probably 25% of the loans that I closed this year were for people that had a previous foreclosure or had a previous short sale. And here we are over 3 years past that, and can testify to the ability to be able to qualify after something like that. It does not take that long for your credit scores to improve if you do the right things with your credit report. And so I really want to encourage anyone who might be in that situation where they're facing a potential foreclosure, a potential short sale, or a deed in lieu of foreclosure, that there is light on the other side. It just will take some time. Sure. And it will be wise to get some counsel from someone like me where we can sit down and talk about what they need to do over the next 3 years to be sure to be in the right spot to be able to qualify again. But it's definitely possible. And like I said, 25% of our loans were those situations.
So it's not a bad idea for someone who's been in that situation maybe in the past to talk to somebody now to be planning 2, 3, 4 years in advance.
Absolutely. It is so smart to do that. And Kate, there are a lot of home buyers out there that don't qualify right now, and not just because they had a short sale or a foreclosure in the past, but there have just been other challenges from life. If they've never owned a home before, but they've had a car, it might have gotten repossessed, if they were laid off on a job or had an income decline. So there are just a lot of different credit situations out there that can keep a home buyer from being able to qualify now. But I make a regular practice of sitting down with clients to figure out what's the game plan that we could come up with together that's doable and that will help them to get in a position where they can qualify. And we try to estimate what that time frame is going to look like. Is it 3 months? Is it 6 months? Is it a year? Of course, that's going to be case by case depending on each home buyer. But there is never a wrong time to sit down to get a game plan down. There have been clients that we have sat down and discussed and determined that they actually do qualify right now. Then there's others that want to qualify now, and it might take some time. But the sooner they could sit down and find that out, the sooner they can get going on the plan to be able to get qualified.
As opposed to waiting to the point where they're ready to move, and then it's too late because they haven't done all the prep work.
Absolutely.
To get themselves ready.
It's so unfortunate when I get a call from a potential home buyer who says that they are going to be having to move out of their apartment. The lease is up next month, and so they need to find a house. It's challenging enough that the inventory is tight, but then you also add a home buyer who needs to do a few things to get qualified, and we just don't have the time to get that done.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about that first-time home buyer. They've not had that credit. Maybe it's a young couple. They've not had credit problems in the past. They've not had the foreclosures. What kind of things do they need to be prepared for in this process? This is a huge process. Purchase for everybody who's ever bought a house. It's probably the biggest purchase most people make. But that first-time home buyer, the process can seem overwhelming. What kind of things would that first-time home buyer need to be thinking about?
You know, there are so many different components in the whole home buying process. We heard about the home inspection part of it. You've got the actual house search part. You've got the loan part. So each step of the way can seem overwhelming. And then when you dive in deeper into one particular area of the process, that in itself really seems overwhelming. So I think the best thing that a home buyer can do, especially a first-time home buyer, is really to educate themselves on not only the process, but the loan programs that are available to them, the requirements that are needed in order to qualify, the documentation that's required. And that's why, in my opinion, the best way to prepare yourself is to sit down and talk to a loan officer that you trust about your credit report, the income on your job, the loan programs that you qualify for, the pros and cons for each loan program. There are so many different loan programs out there. And you want to know that the lender you're talking to is looking out for your best interest, is going to help you figure out which one's the best, and then help navigate you through that. Because even though you may have figured out the loan program, you may have submitted your application, now we've got to go through, is the house going to appraise, the home inspection, were there concerns, what does the underwriter need for final loan approval? And so all of those, it's like moving through a house, and each room that you go into is going to have its own set of challenges that you need to work through. And part of the thing that I love about my job is just helping to navigate those home mm-hmm. buyers through that.
Great. We're listening to John Ragland Jr. from Supreme Lending. Now, John, do you do just original loans or you do refinancing? And you mentioned a few minutes ago about different types of programs. Why don't you tell our listeners out there some of the more common programs that are out there available without going into 2 hours of detail on the programs?
So I absolutely do purchase transactions and I do refinance transactions. But I would say the majority of my business is the purchase transaction, and that has to do with just the relationships that I've made in my 9 years of this business, and primarily referrals that come from realtors are going to be related to purchase transactions. The most common programs that I would say most home buyers have heard of would be a conventional loan or an FHA loan, which is a loan that's insured by the federal government. Veterans could potentially qualify for a VA loan. And then there's another loan program called USDA Rural Development that is more focused on areas that are more rural, outside of the metro area. But that is a great program as well. And not all lenders offer that program. So again, you want to make sure the lender you're working with has access to all the programs in order to figure out which one is the best one for the home buyer.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned earlier one of the things that you love about your job is that you just get to help people. I'm going to throw you on the spot. Is there a particular thing that comes to mind when you're talking about a story maybe where you particularly felt like you were rewarding by helping somebody through that process?
Absolutely. I can be a pretty analytical person, so I like the numbers. I like studying the credit report. I like figuring out what to do. And I actually had a homeowner who needed to do he was not a homeowner yet. He was, let me think of how that was situated. He had a previous foreclosure. He wanted to purchase a property. He couldn't qualify, so he purchased it, and he used the seller to provide private financing. So there was a mortgage on the property, but it wasn't a traditional mortgage from a bank. It was from the seller. And so it was time to refinance out of that private seller financed into a regular mortgage. And he had had a previous foreclosure and a previous bankruptcy, so he really only qualified for FHA financing at the time. And for him, that meant mortgage insurance that he had to pay monthly, even though he had almost 20% equity in the property. It meant the mortgage insurance premium that's financed into the loan. There's some challenges that didn't make it his most favorite program, but he really didn't have a choice. Well, during the loan process, we discovered that his bankruptcy was going to be old enough if we waited another month to potentially go with a conventional loan. So I had the option of just closing it the way that it was, or advising him to wait a little bit longer and see if we could not make a conventional loan work. Well, he was willing to wait, and his patience paid off. And we were able to refinance into a conventional loan, which saved him over $200 a month since he didn't want to have to pay mortgage insurance. And that, to him, made all the difference, because we really cared not just about getting the loan closed, but cared about him and what was going to be in his best interest.
That's a fantastic story, and I hope every realtor that's listening out there hears the heart that is that we're not just looking for the bottom line, because you could have closed it earlier, and Supreme Lending probably could have made a few extra bucks on that, but you're looking at, you've now probably built a long-term customer, and probably with that realtors that were involved in that too.
Absolutely.
So, fantastic. Well, John Ragland Jr. from Supreme Lending, tell us a little bit about, if somebody's looking for some more information about Supreme Lending and you specifically, how would they get some more information from you?
Well, I always welcome them to call me on my cell phone, 770-335-6373. They can also visit my website, which is my name, johnraglandjr.com. And my preference would be for them to call or email. Let's schedule an appointment, sit down, and talk about their specific situation and what would be the best plan to help them achieve their financial goals.
Great. John, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Our next guest on the show is Johnny Phelps from Harry Norman Realtors. Thank you. Johnny, thank you for being on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kate. Looking forward to it.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on with Harry Norman Realtors these days.
Well, days are a whole lot better than they have been. and that would apply also to John and to Phil as well. As you touched on previously, real estate went through a very tough time. And I can tell you that in 2007, we thought that probably by the end of 2008 it would be taken care of. That didn't happen. We thought, well, by the end of 2009, Well, it lasted into 2011 and 2012. I can tell you, though, that 2012 and 2013 have seen exciting improvement. Harry Norman Realtors has had enormous success in the last 2 years in growth. And based on first MLS numbers, first multiple listing service numbers, we are the number one producer in the Metro Atlanta area. And I'm very proud of that and glad to see some of the activity, not only for the company, but for Johnny Phelps as well.
Sure. Well, now, explain for our listening audience, when you talk about producer, is that volume of houses or is that quantity of houses?
Well, it's checked in both ways. The number of units sold, and that's where we have had a great number. And in volume, dollar volume, and it's no secret that Harry Norman Realtors has a number of offices in the Buckhead area. And obviously, with the home prices in that area, that's
helps that
number
helps
quite
the
volume,
a bit.
Certainly, my office, you know, is in Gwinnett County, and I can tell you that we have had a enormous success in the last 2 years. Great growth. Our company is up 24 through October. Our company was up 24% from a year ago. My office was up 34%. And in volume. So real estate is an instant conversation starter,
sure.
Kate. And people are always saying, how's the market? Boy, I hear that's a very popular question. Well, it really has improved greatly, and it's moving in the right direction.
When I hear from a lot of real estate agents that it's a seller's market out there, and do you agree with that? Are you finding it to be more of a seller's market or more of a buyer's market?
Well, it certainly has shifted. And for the longest time, it was buyers because there were so many homes that were on the market. And two things changed that. Inventory goes down, and the other thing is new construction went up. And new construction also helps set the prices, sets the pricing, so to speak. And so values have worked their way back up. There were a number of people who wanted to sell during a time frame when real estate was not going so well, that had to sit on the sidelines. Now they're in the game, so to speak. And a number of buyers have seen that the inventory dropping, and what we have seen in the last couple of years, something we hadn't seen in a long time prior to that, multiple offers. Mm. And not just on foreclosures or short sales where significant price reductions and that sort of thing. On true arm's length transactions, we've seen a lot of multiple offers. And that has also helped those values work their way back up.
Sure. Sure. Now, are you finding that there's still a lot of foreclosure and short sales out in the market, or is it becoming more the traditional selling market?
I can only speak for myself. I've not seen as many. Certainly, they're still out there. And I actually encountered a greater number of short sales than I did foreclosures. Now, that's not to say there weren't more short sales in the market than there mm-hmm. were foreclosures, just in what I was encountering. And I'm sure John can know exactly how that sort of manifests itself. But those numbers are down, and people have they've worked hard to make things work for them. And also what's also happened is as values have worked their way back up, some of those people who wanted to sell now have come back in, so they're selling at market value, whereas it's not a short sale transaction anymore.
Okay, where they may have been that reluctant landlord, rented it for a few years,
that's right,
and said,
too.
Now we're ready, now we can get it back into not losing our shirt.
Oh, indeed. and also a situation regarding that, some subdivisions had to cap mm-hmm. The number of rental properties that they were allowed in their subdivision. Mm-hmm. And for a while, that wasn't an issue. It became an issue, mm-hmm. and certainly has something that has affected both landlord, tenant, and prospective sellers and buyers.
And certainly, the other homeowners want to protect their property values.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely,
absolutely. I know. In our neighborhood specifically, somebody just not too long ago sold a house for just what they had left in the mortgage, and the rest of us just white faced.
Oh boy, that's a dagger to the heart
it
right
was.
There. That's a dagger to the heart.
It absolutely was. Well, tell us a little bit about, do you mostly work with residential home buyers? Are you working in anything commercial or investors?
Totally residential for me. I have encountered some investors. And I work with both buyers and sellers and families who are relocating. Mm-hmm. I'm an accredited relocation specialist with Harry Norman. And that doesn't necessarily mean people who are moving to and from Atlanta, I can help people who may be transferring from Dallas to Denver because of our relocation network throughout the country. But again, buyers and sellers, and I have to concentrate on a specific area, most especially for listing purposes. I learned this, Kate, as a realtor in my very first year. A previous coworker contacted me. I hadn't been a realtor very long. And he said, Johnny, I'm being transferred to Washington, D.C., and I need to sell my home, and I'd like you to list it. Well, I hadn't been a realtor long. I'm going to get a listing. And I said, certainly. He said, now, I live in South DeKalb County. I live in Ellenwood. Frankly, I knew where DeKalb County was, but I didn't realize Ellenwood was that far south. And it was 35 miles one way from my office to his house. And the plan was that he was going to be transferred and his family would stay on until the house sold. Well, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, they decided, no, we're going to move too. So the house was vacant. And it was incumbent upon me to make sure it's still safe, that the it presents itself well, that the flyer box out front has flyers in it. And as the weeds start to grow, to get those taken care of. Well, a 70-mile trip became a difficult task. So I learned it's important to be able to service the listing well. So with respect to that, I concentrate on Gwinnett, North Fulton, South Forsyth, and South Hall with respect to listing purposes. I have helped buyers all over the metro area, as far south as Peachtree City, as far east as Covington, up in Woodstock, Kennesaw, Stockbridge. I've been all over the metro area, Smyrna. Obviously, the great majority of them are in the Gwinnett County and surrounding area. But it's easier to do that than it is service a listing that far away.
Absolutely. Well, I think your seller wants to make sure they're getting that attention to their home as well. So as you mentioned, if they got to go out of town, they're depending on that realtor to be able to be there for them.
Yeah, we wear a lot of hats. Yeah. We wear a lot of hats. I'm not ashamed to tell you this. I have taken my lawnmower and my weed eater over to a vacant property that I had listed. And I have other agents say, Johnny, that's not your duty. Well, maybe it's not, but it's my name on the sign out front, Kate.
That's right.
And I want it to be attractive to potential buyer. So I'm willing to do that.
Absolutely.
To help that seller out for someone who might be driving by.
Cool. We're listening to Johnny Phelps from Harry Norman Realtors. Johnny, tell us a little bit about that person is thinking about maybe they had put themselves on hold in the selling market, and they're hearing the buzz out there that it's the seller's market. We're not going to lose our shirts in our house. What kind of things do they need to be thinking about and doing in preparation to get their house on the market?
One of the first things they would do would be call John. Seriously. They need to know what level they can purchase for the pre-approval, the pre-qualifying that John discussed, and determine the area that they're most comfortable with. A lot of people just don't know. They think I want to be in this area. Maybe they say I want to be in Gwinnett County. Well, we have a pretty big county. We have a lot of homes.
A lot of diversity in Gwinnett County.
A lot of diversity,
yeah.
Absolutely. So determine what you're comfortable with. Feel free to drive around. Just take a look. In communities, in subdivisions. I am perfectly comfortable with buyers telling me, I want to, that they may send me a house that's listed. Certainly, I want to search for them, but I'm comfortable with them doing their own search and saying, these are the ones we want to see. Because one of the great things about searching homes today is the value of the growth in internet. And websites, consumer websites, that they can see all the features of the home, lots of pictures if they're available. And so the great majority of homeowners are online before they contact a realtor.
Absolutely.
Before they go out and start searching seeing homes. And I think we talked earlier about people educating themselves. They've done that, and they see the value in that. Let's face it, there are HGTV has so many programs that people look at. Now, I'm not a great fan of some of those because a lot of it's California and Florida, which really doesn't apply here. But it does help people give an idea of their expectations, perhaps, as they go through the process. And those kinds of things are very valuable.
Are you finding any sellers out in the market today that sell their house and it sold far quicker than they were anticipated and now they're stuck about, where do I go now?
Oh, my goodness, where are we going, honey? Indeed, that is so true. it's important that they understand the market as well and the potential for a quick sale. And getting your ducks in a row on both sides is a key factor there. One of the things there, obviously, is a negotiation with respect to the closing date and how that can help that seller move on. I can tell you, sometimes when things are lined up and this buyer is buying from this seller and that seller is buying from another seller, and if one domino falls, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, you'd be dealing four or five different homes.
Oh, absolutely. That is a...
if not more.
That's a nightmare, not only for those buyers and sellers, but for the realtor, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we everyone wants to make it work. Yeah. Phil mentioned a moment ago, and I wrote this down, realtors like to see buyers and sellers work out the inspection report as best they can. Well, he said inspectors want to see that. Realtors want to see that,
yeah,
too. We really do, because that can be a situation that can halt the process.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that people understand if they're buying a home that's 10, 15 years old, it's not going to be a new home when you buy
right.
it.
Right.
A seller, I want my sellers, and I tell this to all people that I'm listing a home, I want sellers to think like a buyer. Present your home in a fashion that if you walked in, what would it look like to you? Would it be attractive to you? But at the same time, I want my buyers to think like a seller. It can't be pristine all the time, as much as you want it to be. Understand that those people still live there. That's
mm-hmm.
their home. They
still
have
got
daily
kids
process.
Running around
absolutely,
every day.
The pets in and out and so forth. Keep that in mind. Buyers think like sellers, and sellers think like buyers, and we'll move forward.
Probably make that process go a lot quicker.
Well, it'll certainly help. It sure will.
Well, not asking you to pull out your crystal ball or anything, but have you seen any trends that you think are coming forward in 2014?
Well, it's a little crystal ball's a little cloudy. I would certainly anticipate that it continues to move forward. At some point, we're going to find a stabilization from buyers and sellers, which I think probably is a good thing on all fronts. We did have just an enormous situation where buyers were in command and the pendulum has shifted. But what's incredible about real estate is how it fluctuates back and forth. And there is a point in that fluctuation where it levels off. I can't say that's going to be in 2014. As I said earlier, in 2007, we thought it would be over by the end of 2008. And when I say we, I'm talking people in
general. Market general.
Exactly. So I'm going to think positive, Kate. I'm going to say, yes, it's going to keep moving forward. Values are going to continue to rise. They jumped a good bit in a short period of time. I wouldn't say that jump is going to be that significant again in another 12 months, but the home values for those people has been quite such a benefit for them, those sellers who finally are saying, yes, now we're back where we can get in the game mm-hmm. again.
So I think there was a point in time, was there not, where the home values really were higher than what most of the homes were worth. I know in our neighborhood specifically, a lot of the homes were appraising really higher than they were. And that shift in the market kind of brought the sales cycle back down.
Mm-hmm.
Are we finding that they're going back up to that top point or really leveling off to where they should have been in the first place?
I think people are much more careful about it these days. Certainly, the appraisal process has reined that in to some degree. I'm certainly John knows the that aspect of the circumstance that it is a critical factor in the purchase process when the appraisal comes back. That's a big hurdle to clear. There are several hurdles during the entire sales process and the loan process. Getting the appraisal is a big one, and that process has been modified is maybe not the right word, but it's worked itself out in a better situation. And you know, one of the interesting things about Metro Atlanta is while California and Phoenix and Tucson and some of the South Florida markets were in the early 90s were climbing at such a rapid pace, we were moving at what seemed to be a reasonable 4 to 5%, 3, 4, 5%. And I think that's why when so much was talked in 06 and 07, like the bubble's going to burst, we thought so much it's going to burst in those Las Vegas, San Francisco, San Diego markets. But we won't get hit that hard. We got hit harder than most people thought, than a lot of people thought.
And so it's a good point that you bring up about the being careful how we move forward in terms of growth.
Very good. Johnny Phelps from Harry Norman Realtors, thank you again for being on the show.
It's been a great time.
As our listeners are out there, how would they find some more information about you?
JohnnyPhelps.com, 678-957-3838. 678-957-3838, JohnnyPhelps.com.
Great, thank you. You've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. Special thank you again to my guests, Johnny Phelps from Harry Norman Realtors, John Raglan Jr. from Supreme Lending, and Phil LeBlanc from ProTech Home and Property Inspections. I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor care, cleaning, and restoration needs. To listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts, go to squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, set the eagle in flight.